21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Look up your chimney, the sky ain't blue, it's kind of yellow, you know it's true.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. This is what's left of Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD, hanging out somewhere here. And our executive producer, who is really largely responsible for the quality of this show, is Laura Cordner, and our engineer knows how to run this train at 722 miles an hour. And, well, there goes the Traveling Wilburys. You know, with all the groups I knew and all the people I hung out with for a little while, from Jimi Hendrix to the Marleys to whatever, I never got a chance to meet any of the Traveling Wilburys. To me, they were the best rock and roll group ever, ever, ever. Now, you try to talk to Bob Dylan sometime. That's it's almost impossible. Well, we're with Selena Fox. We've been talking about the DC 40 initiative of the religious right wing to destroy the Liberty Goddess. Selena's article, Goddess of Freedom, From Libertas to Lady Liberty, is found on Facebook. The Lady Liberty League and the Circle Sanctuary Protecting Nature-Based Religions from Persecution. Please go to circlesanctuary.org. And to learn more on the DC 40, go to the article on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com titled, Lady Liberty Needs Your Help. Sure does. Or visit this website that Selena contributes to called HailColumbia.us. And more on the New Apostolic Reformation, go to narwatch.com. Oh, welcome back, Selena. Well, let's talk about some of Lady Liberty Goddess's meditations and rituals that you have created and facilitated in various settings.
Well, I'll begin by talking about the Lady Liberty work that we did to try to get the pinnacle added to the list of emblems of belief that the VA has authorized to put on the grave markers it issues for deceased veterans. And I'm happy to say not only the work that we did individually, but people of different faiths and belief systems were part of workings that resulted in success in that case. One of the people that had a need to have her husband honored with a VA grave marker was Roberta Stewart. Her husband, Sergeant Patrick Stewart, was the first Wiccan soldier killed in action in the War on Terrorism. He was killed on September 25th, 2005, when he and the helicopter with four other American troops were shot down from the sky by enemy forces as they were providing cover for American troops on the ground. He was serving in Operation Enduring Freedom, the war in Afghanistan. The irony of having died for freedom but not having freedom, to have his belief honored with a grave marker, added to the grief of his widow. But I'm happy to say that we won in the courts, and both in the work that we did trying to get this manifested and in the celebrations afterward, we had Lady Liberty figures. Not just the Statue of Liberty forms, but some of the reproductions of Liberty with her Liberty pole, with eagles, winged Liberty at various ceremonies and events that we had.
Oh, that must
so
be.
The use of Liberty imagery as part of a people's quest to get equal rights can be one way that Liberty can be worked with in a community setting.
Well, would you like to give us an example of a Lady Liberty guided visualization or something similar?
Yes. Well, some of my background has been in the field of psychology. That's where my undergraduate and graduate work was centered. And here is an example of a ceremony for personal liberation. So a person would call to mind a habit that needs to be broken or some kind of restrictive situation that needs to be broken out of. Imagine it taking the form of a chain that's binding. Then for a few moments, experience the restrictions, the problems that it causes. And then invoke the goddess of liberty. Could be freedom, libertas, Columbia. You pick the form of liberty you wish to call. Ask her to come to your aid. And then start imagining her with some of her special symbols. Imagine her wearing the liberty cap, carrying a liberty pole. Imagine that she's touching the chains that are binding, and they fall away as the liberty pole touches them. Imagine that the liberty cap comes to your head. And then as you experience yourself wearing the liberty cap, then imagine that guidance is welling up with you, within you. Let it come. And then pay attention to what comes to mind as a result of doing this imagination experience about what you specifically can do in daily life to break the habit or change the situation, take on healthier behaviors. And then after that guidance comes, then you imagine Goddess Liberty giving you the liberty pole, and then give thanks to her. Write down the guidance you receive, other impressions, and then come up with something specific to do and then do it. Now that's an example of working with Lady Liberty on a personal level.
Well, you know, I know we always have not enough time to ask questions, but could you just say a few words about the importance of imagining and imagination?
We have our imaginations going all the time, whether we're paying attention to them or not. We have to be aware of our thoughts, and as our thoughts become more monitored by ourselves, if we find ourselves engaging in what's known as negative self-talk, I can't do it, I feel terrible, this isn't going to work, well, pay attention to that, but make sure you don't just have that as an ongoing rhythm. It's the power of positive thinking. It's nothing new. People have known about this for generations. But the idea of using imagination, using symbols, whether you conceive of liberty as the spirit of America, as a symbol for positive upliftment of consciousness, or as a deity, working with liberty images can be a way of shifting your consciousness and introducing into your mind positive imagery that will help you rather than defeat you or add to the problems.
So that the imagination is quite an important tool to use in all of your life, then.
Well, that's right.
Let's compare the Statue of Liberty to other gods and goddesses throughout history. Other than Liberty, there are several other Greco-Roman divinities seen frequently in American art. Could you tell us about Justica?
Yeah, Justica, Lady Justice. She usually is depicted as being blindfolded so that she's impartial when she is making judgment. She typically has a sword upright in one hand and in the other scales. You may see her in courthouses. You may see her in other places, and she represents justice. And I invite people who are really working within the justice system to do some work with justice imagery to aid them in their work.
What about victory?
Victory is sometimes known as winged victory, or by the Greek word Nike, Yes, before the sportswear, there was Nike. And in the Parthenon in Athens, there was a gigantic statue of Athena, and in her hand was Nike, the goddess of victory. Sometimes Nike or victory merges with Lady Liberty, and the figure has wings, because victory typically has wings. When I was at Fort Bragg last weekend celebrating the 10th anniversary of the pagan worship circle at that military base, which has had people serving in the war on terrorism as well as stateside, I was given this beautiful framed piece of art that included some military patches, a thank you, and winged liberty, which is really a combination of victory and libertas.
Well, congratulations. Wow.
It was a really wonderful thing. We were in the main post chapel and interfaced with the support chaplain and other people there. And I'm so thankful that the U.S. military has had support for Wiccans, Druids, heathens, and other pagans serving at all the branches of the U.S. military. Circle Sanctuary is supporting worship circles in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and have been for some time, as well as more than 24 military installations in the U.S. and other parts of the world.
Well, thank you for taking the time to make that happen years ago. You've been in so many battles, and you seem to have won them all. That's amazing.
Well, we're still working on getting a U.S. military chaplain who comes from one of the pagan traditions. Our organization has been working on that quest since 1998.
Well, let's go back to the other goddesses. Ceres, Demeter.
The goddess of agriculture, as she also is known, shows up in a lot of public art. Sometimes she's on state seals and flags with libertas. Typically, she has a cornucopia, which many people will have as part of their November Thanksgiving celebrations. Most people don't know that's actually the Horn of Plenty is an ancient pagan sacred symbol of abundance. And it now is an American secular symbol as well, and is in state houses and other places around the country representing prosperity. And we certainly need some of that imagery in our country right now.
That's for sure. How about a symbolic breakdown of some common American symbols seen in conjunction with these goddesses, in particular the rays of light from the crown? What does that mean, and what are some other examples where we see it across cultures?
Well, the rays of light from the crown, for many people, represent a higher form of consciousness, enlightenment, awareness. The Statue of Liberty is called Liberty Enlightening the World. It's the idea of the dawn of wisdom and consciousness. Yes, there may be connections with sunlight, solar rays, but I see the more underscored meaning is that of wisdom and knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
Some of the other symbols of the what I call the American iconic goddesses, the five-pointed star. Yes, that very same star that we had some adventures in American democracy in order to have it available in its pinnacle form to be on veteran grave markers. The five-pointed star is actually a symbol that goes across many different cultures and faith traditions. It represents balance. It represents illumination. And we have 50 of them in our American flag, representing each of the states of our union.
I like that number 502. There could be another story. But what about the torch?
The torch is a very ancient symbol connected with illumination, light of knowledge, hope, inspiration. not only did Libertas have the torch, but some of the depictions of Libertas in America, Columbia has the torch, including the Hollywood studio. If you pay attention to those depictions of Columbia, yes, she is holding a torch high. And that torch is of hope, of strength, of enthusiasm, of wisdom, of illumination.
Well, we have a little illuminating news right now because we got to take a break on 21st Century Radio. When we come back, maybe we can talk a little bit more about the Liberty Pole. I was just in love with your whole description of cornucopia. I learned so much from that within your booklet called Goddess Communion and Rituals and Meditations with our guest Selena Fox. And please, the Lady Liberty League and Circle Sanctuary Protecting Nature-Based Religions from Persecutions, go to circlesanctuary.org. And to learn more about the DC 40, go to the article on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. Lady Liberty needs your help, or visit this website that Selena contributes to called HailColumbia.us.
Joanne Shenandoah. I'm a Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter, Native American Music Award winner, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
And she's a good friend of ours. Oh, right. Wait, you should hear her CDs. Okay, friends, our guest is Selena Fox, and Selena's articles, Goddess of Freedom, from Libertas to Lady Liberty, is found on Facebook, the Lady Liberty League, and the Circle Sanctuary Protecting Nature-Based Religions from Persecution, circlesanctuary.org. And also, let's forget about the other things for now. I'm anxious to get to the Liberty Pole. We just closed our swimming pool, so that's what I was thinking about. The Liberty Pole.
The Liberty Pole actually has its roots back in setting slaves free in ancient Rome. It would be used to tap the shoulders of the slave being freed, and it shows up in art as a pole itself. Sometimes it's as a spear or in some other variation. The Liberty Pole also has a connection with the Liberty Tree, and as a symbol of liberty flourishing. So you may find Libertas or Lady Liberty with a pole in some cases or next to a tree in some cases. And sometimes George Washington is with Lady Liberty too, especially back in the art of the Revolutionary War period in the time right after that.
Yeah, sure is. I made a mistake. Well, it's only the 400th mistake I've made this week, but the cornucopia was in one of your circle sanctuary papers and went in great detail. It wasn't in the Goddess Communion. I apologize. Sometimes I can't remember everything. But could you tell us more about the cornucopia? Because I searched for our little cornucopia wicker basket as soon as I finished reading this, and we couldn't locate it.
Well, and I think cornucopias, also known as the Horn of Plenty, are symbols that have come into American pop culture. They not only associate it with Thanksgiving, but you will find them in depictions of the Christmas Carol, for example. The Ghost of Christmas Past often has a cornucopia, and it's just full of fruits and vegetables. It's just overflowing with abundance. And part of the reason cornucopia is not only associated with liberty, but some of the other iconic goddess forms that are now part of American iconography is that it is the promise of the American dream.
Oh,
abundance,
yes.
Plenty, well-being. And you'll find that sometimes liberty is holding the cornucopia. Sometimes it's Ceres or Demeter that's holding it, or sometimes it's by itself on a coin or on a seal or a flag.
Well, it's also, from what I learned from you, a symbol that can be used in, well, all solstices, equinoxes, and all the midpoints in between. That's eight different rituals during the year.
I use the cornucopia year-round, and I will put different things, and I have both basket forms, and I have metal forms, and a ceramic forms. I have lots of cornucopias to choose from and when I decorate my home and altars at our church. But I'll put different symbols for the season within it. And as we're going into the time of Samhain, which is the midpoint of fall, and for many of us, this is our spiritual new year. It is a time of pumpkins and apples, and we'll get some small pumpkins and acorns and apples and other harvest items as part of a cornucopia display at this time of year.
Do you ever put any little animal friends in there? I don't mean, well, it would be nice if you had live animal friends, but they'll probably eat everything up. So
probably the closest I come to it is symbolic stone eggs representing the actual chicken eggs. Mm-hmm. At spring equinox time, I'll fill a cornucopia or a bowl full of colored eggs representing the promise of new life.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Minerva. As herself, she makes frequent appearances in American art and symbolism. What were the founders so drawn, or why were the founders so drawn to this goddess?
Well, we're talking about Age of Reason. We're talking about Enlightenment. She, Minerva, the Roman form, or Athena, the Greek form, the goddess of wisdom. But she also was a protectress. She was a warrior goddess. If you go to the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., I suggest that you make sure that you see the beautiful mosaic, huge mosaic of this particular form of American goddess that has her roots in classical antiquity. The idea of educating ourselves, of celebrating wisdom, is really important. And I think for a democracy to truly function well, you need an educated electorate. It isn't important just to vote, but to educate yourself about who and what you're voting about.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Well, how about comparing the Statue of Liberty to the Mother Goddess? If she can be seen as a mother, who and what is her child? What is she nurturing?
I see the Statue of Liberty as a particular form of Lady Liberty in this country. And not only the poem about the huddled masses coming to her is a representation of that mothering aspect. But in a sense, she is standing in a very large form greeting people coming to this country as a symbol of opportunity and being cared for and caring for others. The various forms of libertas, she typically is in a mature woman form and in a mother form. So who are the children? Each of us as individuals are liberty's children, and our nation is her child that she wishes to nurture.
So she's nurturing us children, right?
Yes, and I think in essence, two, it's a two-way street that we are the progeny of American liberty, but we must pay attention to American liberty. Just because liberty is at our foundation and has been there for years doesn't mean we're on automatic. Mm-hmm. We must constantly pay attention to liberty, guard our liberty, and work to keep liberty alive and well.
Well, as I sit here in my, well, our studio, I have with me Lady Liberty, Lady Freedom, and the Virgin Mary. I have a number of statues of the Virgin Mary. I've always felt close to her. Would you please compare the Statue of Liberty to the Virgin Mary?
I think one of the things that the Virgin Mary has in common with the Statue of Liberty is a symbol that gives comfort to people. Mm-hmm. And if we go back to the French Revolution, 1793, in Notre Dame, some of the Virgin Mary altars had the Lady Liberty version from France called the Marianne put on those altars. So you will find some parallels in terms of the nurturance as well as the reverence for these forms. Virgin Mary, like Libertas, is a form that's not only symbolic, but for people from different religions, very sacred. So for some people in their form of religious practice, the Virgin Mary, Mother of God, is a sacred form they pray to get help and assistance. And Lady Liberty has appeared in visions to people who have visionary forms of spirituality. Virgin Mary has appeared in visionary forms to people who have visionary parts of their spirituality. So those are two other things that they have in common, as well as being multicultural and going across faith traditions.
Well, one of the things that bothers me so much about the DC 40 and these fundamentalists, because I don't want to call them Christians, they seem to be fundamentalists, really, conspiratorialists, are, you know, they are anti-Virgin Mary. As a matter of fact, they call the Virgin Mary satanic. How in the world do you think they would draw that conclusion?
I am really saddened by that. As someone who has been involved in interfaith bridge building, dialogue, and collaboration for social justice and world peace, and as someone who just recently was doing ministry at St. Mary's Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin, and who has the French version of Mary as a middle name, Marie, to say that Virgin Mary is demonic, is somehow religiously incorrect, is just plain wrong, and it's certainly not helpful.
No, it's certainly.
I really think that we need to look at Mary and how she has provided comfort to people of different races and different nations from not only in Europe but around the world in the past and in the present. And to demonize someone who has helped people connect with the divine and bring comfort and healing, and to say somehow that she is not a legitimate way to connect with the divine, I find is not only erroneous, but distinctly unhelpful. And I hate to even call that Christian, because Jesus was about love and was about helping others and about connecting with the divine in loving ways.
Well, at one time, I was going to be a priest. And one of my dearest friends who has passed on was Sister Regina Geiger, who probably is sitting in the studio right now. God bless her, from Notre Dame. She's one of the individuals, one of the sisters I spent so much time talking about the Virgin Mary. And I promised her that I would make sure that I would stand up for the Virgin Mary whenever I saw her attacked. And so thank you for that information. I'm sure that she's probably sitting right over there in that other chair right now listening to us. Would you please compare the Virgin Mary to ISIS and from there to the Mexican Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Aztec Mother Goddess, a name I can never pronounce,
Tenanson.
Ah,
right?
Thank you. Tenanson, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about that?
Well, one of the ways of honoring the divine has been in the forms of the divine feminine. Some people use the word Mother God, some people use the word Goddess, or some people call it divine feminine or the sacred feminine. In ancient times, the great goddess had different forms depending on the people, the culture, the religion. And in addition to honoring the divine in a father form, across the world religions, if you go back far enough, you're going to find there's also a mother form. As Europe shifted from having pagan religions as the dominant form of religious expression to Christian forms, Isis, who was a form of the Divine Mother, rooted in Old Egypt, once known as Aset, but who became known as Isis when the Greek influence came into Egypt, and then in the Roman world, the Greco-Roman world, she was most known as Isis. Some of the last places that were pagan temples were temples to Isis. As they had a Christian influence come through, those temples were converted, Isis temples were converted to temples and shrines honoring the Virgin Mary. As Christianity came to the Americas, and in particular as we look into Mexico and Central and South America, as it came into Mexico, some of the indigenous forms of the divine feminine merged with the Christian form of divine feminine, which would be Virgin Mary. And Tenantzin was the goddess of corn or maize, whose feast day was in early December, and who was seen, depicted in the sacred art, the pre-Christian sacred art, indigenous to Mexico. She would be carrying sheaves of maize or corn. There were visions of the divine feminine that happened in the 1500s in Mexico. And here you would have the merger of Virgin Mary with Tenantzin, for it was Virgin Mary looking very much like she was in some European traditions, only she was carrying maize, and the visions appeared at the feast day, December 8th and 9th, and it was actually a time of several days during that part of December. And essentially, Our Lady of Guadalupe, who's also connected with Mexican cultural heritage, is a merger of the Christian and the indigenous divine feminine.
Well, the Statue of Liberty is often compared to Isis because the sculptor August Bartholdi had an earlier proposal denied by the Khedive of Egypt to create a colossal female at the entrance of the Suez Canal, and conspiracy theorists think Egyptian female Isis, and thus have identified Bartholdi's later colossal female in the New York Harbor with Isis. What other comparisons can be drawn between the iconography of or myth of Isis and the Statue of Liberty?
Well, the fact that Isis was multicultural, international, and interreligious as a form of the divine feminine, that correlates with Libertas evolving and becoming international, multicultural, and interreligious in her form. So that's a direct comparison. Certainly that forerunner to the Statue of Liberty had originally been designed for Egypt, but rather than it really being based on Isis, it was actually originally going to be a peasant girl rather than a goddess form. I think that Isis has continued to be looked at as a universal form of the divine feminine, and rather than be demonized or misunderstood, I think we should look at that form as a form of all goddess that allows the divine feminine to be honored in a variety of different ways. And so I see both liberty as inspiring people to celebrate freedom, and ISIS, inclusion, both of those two powerful symbols and goddesses can continue to inspire us regardless of what our politics, our religion, our nationality, our culture may be.
Well, thank you. We're going to take our final break on 21st Century Radio, and when we return with our guest Selena Fox, it's time to talk about what I think is super important, religious pluralism, which has always been the way in America, with our guest Selena Fox. Selena's article, Goddess of Freedom, From Libertas to Lady Liberty, found on Facebook, the Lady Liberty League, and Circle Sanctuary, Protecting Nature-Based Religions from Persecution, CircleSanctuary.org, and also go to HailColumbia.us.
My name is Sally Rush Wagner, and you are listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus. This man knows how to interview. Stay tuned and be sure and listen to this show. And if you want to visit me, I am the director of the Matilda Jocelyn Gage Foundation. Check out our website at matildajocelyngage.org.
Yes, it's true. I am in love with Matilda Jocelyn Gage. What a woman. Excuse me. I got carried away there. This is 21st Century Radio, and my guest is Selena Fox, and the Lady Liberty League and Circle Sanctuary Protecting Nature-Based Religions from Persecution is what you should be focused on, and the CircleSanctuary.org, and of course, go to HailColumbia.us. Whoa, religious pluralism. Well, tell us what it means to say religious pluralism has always been the way of America.
If we go back before the European contact in what's now known as America, there were a variety of different tribal religions, or they might be called indigenous religions or Native American traditional ways. Native American is an umbrella term, but actually the different peoples each had their form of spirituality, and there were some commonalities in terms of connecting with the rhythms of nature, just as the European pagan traditions had. But there were some real differences. Cherokee people, for example, much more lunar-oriented, some of the Southwest tribes much more solar-oriented in the timing of ceremonies. So even before the Europeans came to the Americas, there was religious pluralism and diversity amongst the different Native Americans. When Europeans started settling in what's now known as the United States of America, many who came were Christian, but not all. And of the Christians that came, there was a very wide spectrum of beliefs. I know some of this through my own genealogical research, not only looking at my ancestors on my father's side, who came and helped found Maryland in 1634, but on my mother's side, some people that came over with Conrad Beisel,
whoa,
who founded the Ephrata Cloisters, which was a Christian mystical order known as Sabbatarians, which were part of Anabaptists. So Christianity was diverse, and there were people who were practicing forms of spirituality that might have a Christian identification, but whose belief systems fell outside of what would be considered normal standard Christian practice for that particular denomination. The United States has had people come and settle here from all over the world, and as people have come and contributed to our great nation, different forms of religion and belief systems have all been part of the American mix. So America is becoming increasingly pluralistic, and in order to continue to uphold that freedom of religion upon which our country is founded, it's really important that we find ways not only to be together in good ways, but to have some understanding of this diversity that's part of our mix.
Well, how can we honor these roots to protect both present and future freedoms?
Well, I'd like to begin my response with a quote from Thomas Jefferson. It does me no injury for my neighbor to say there are 20 gods or no gods. Neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg. Jefferson is a good example of someone who had what perhaps today would be called a hybrid form of spirituality and religion. Yes, there was a Christian component, a deist component, a Unitarian component. But he also, with his work with so many different areas, including his preservation of Natural Bridge and what he called sublime experiences at Natural Bridge, ventured into consciousness exploration as well as part of his science of studying life. I think it's really important that we begin the protection, present and future, of these freedoms with more education, educating ourselves, not only through internet research and other media, but being willing and able to participate in events that bring people together from different spiritual, ethnic, and other diverse backgrounds. By being part of events that are inclusive and that promote dialogue and collaboration, we can gain the experience in being able to navigate the diversity and the pluralism that is part of our country.
Would you like to talk about whether or how goddess reverence affects better status for women or the planet as a whole?
I think it's really important, as we look at the realm of religion and spirituality, that we become aware of the rich and long history of the divine being honored in diverse ways, in diverse forms, and some of those forms being with the sacred feminine. And I really think that as we become aware that regardless of what the religion is, if you go back far enough into its roots, you are going to find revered, sacred, feminine forms. And I think as we reclaim those, that we are able to have more balance in the human experience. I think for women, it's a matter of being able to understand that the divine is beyond gender. And there can be goddess the mother as well as God the father. And for some, the divine or God has no gender at all. There's many different ways of looking at how this can really help women. But I do think being able to acknowledge, whether it's one's own belief system or not, to pray to the divine in feminine forms, to recognize that these feminine forms exist and that they actually should be valued and honored, and knowing that they can help women have a feminine face of the divine that they can relate to. as part of their own spiritual expression.
Well, I think it can also do the same for men.
I think whether it's men or women, as we look at sacred images, sacred art across traditions, across the ages, we can derive inspiration from those, whether it's our particular religion or not. It can uplift us. Mm-hmm. Art and music, sculptures and paintings, stories, tales, film can take many different forms. And I do think we need a greater balance in positive images of strength, of hope, of inspiration for both women and men in our society.
How can meditating on the image or qualities of Lady Liberty inspire a woman or a man today?
Well, one of the things that I have encouraged people to do is to do a meditation where they feel a oneness with liberty, especially if they are part of a group of people that may be undergoing struggles with discrimination, or it might be, as we talked about earlier, a personal struggle that one needs to break free of. A simple thing, such as taking the pose of the Statue of Liberty, imagining you're holding a light up and standing with that book with the Independence Day date on it, taking the pose and feeling the power of liberty flowing through oneself can be very empowering and can help a person uplift their spirit.
Well, I have always believed that religious pluralism is really key to American spiritual growth and development. And would you want to speculate just a little bit more about that?
Yes, and I'll talk about some recent experiences. Ever since 9/11 happened, I responded not only in providing direct counseling support to people in our community who were directly impacted. Pagans died in 9/11. Pagans who were doing rescue and recovery died not only on that day, but in the times that followed due to the toxic dust that came in from the sites. So in addition to providing that direct service, one of my responses has been to become even more active in what's known as interreligious work. So I go every month to an interreligious dialogue group that's held at a Roman Catholic center near Madison, Wisconsin. And I have been part of national and international interreligious efforts to help build bridges of understanding, of dialogue, connection, and collaboration amongst the peoples of the world's religions. We need to work together, not only in the United States, but in the world as a whole, to create a world with liberty and justice for all, and where there's religious freedom for all. And I do see that that kind of participation of dialogue and connection is important. And I found that people of different religions were able to come together at this 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. There was more interreligious activity in 10 years around that particular date than I had seen yet.
Well,
and I am
we need
glad
to say
to
goodnight.
Have been one of the religious leaders that took part.
We need to say goodnight. I am so sorry, but I want to thank you for making this a much better planet. We are one people on one planet. See you next week on 21st Century Radio.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lucero.